these pretty people coming in, huh? Well, now's the time when someone shares their thoughts with us. And this gentleman that's going to share his thoughts with us is in... I can't judge, but I think I qualify a little bit. I believe this gentleman wants so much to walk very close with God. I believe that he wants to be an example on this earth plane of someone that has respect for God. Now, I could be wrong. I've been wrong many times. Oh, I see a head shaking here. It thinks I'm right. Oh! Well, you could be fooled too. I mean, there's two sides to this person that's going to be sharing their thoughts with us tonight. And one of them is extremely wild and dangerous. But I believe that tonight he'll keep himself under control. I will not guarantee it. Because I've seen him out of control. If anybody came to the Christmas party, you would have seen him out of control. Was anybody here at the Christmas party? Was he out of control? You bet he was. I worried. I worried about everybody. I worried about the little children. I worried about the old ladies like me. No, seriously, this is a wonderful gentleman, and he, in my estimation, he walks very close with God. And that is our Bill. Bill Vesco.
Hello, church family. I am not going to be tame tonight. Sorry. I want you to remember something as we talk. This is going to be a recurrent theme, and the theme is going to be embedded in the kingdom of heaven is within you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, sister. Can I get an amen? So just try and keep that in your heart. I always like to think that it's only a thought away, and that exists in every single one of us. So the other day, I was having a very spiritual moment. I was driving out of Costco, and I was at a stoplight, and all of a sudden, a little bee came flying and landed right on my windshield, right in front of me like this. And this little guy was laden down with pollen. So you know how they get all fuzzy and furry and they're all yellowy and stuff like this? And I guess he was too heavy to make it home. So he was sitting there and he was like...
It's a she.
Okay.
All bees are female.
And they all sting too. They all sting. You're right. They're sweet, but they have pain. So anyway... this female bee decided to do her makeup on my windshield. And as she was doing her makeup, the light changed. So I said, come on, female bee, it's time to leave the bathroom. But she didn't go. So I had to move my car, and we're in traffic. And as I start to accelerate, now picture this in your mind with your own attitudes. As I'm moving away, the bee also went... and got wider and lower to the ground and fatter on my windshield. She went, bruh. And she looked at me and she looked at the traffic and she goes, "Tú estás loco." Are you crazy? And all of a sudden, the pollen starts going. All of her little treasures are going away and she just squats fat harder and harder and harder. And suddenly, her wing goes. She does a wing walk over and lands back on the windshield again. Woo! This is a spiritual moment, let me tell you. So when she lands back on the windshield, finally, I can see it something. Her cheeks start going, and poof, she's gone. Who can relate to that? How many times? Here comes your spiritual lesson. One of the many. How many times are you laden down in the seeking of your own treasures, your pollen, and you land on something that you think is safe because you need to rest because you're in the middle of your pursuits, And all of a sudden, the world starts to move away from you. And rather than say, whoa, maybe it's time for me to do the natural thing, which is to release and surrender, you decide, no, I'm going to ride this one out. And all of a sudden, the harder you grip, the more your treasures start to fly away, right? And the harder you grip, suddenly the physical starts to go. And you almost fall over. Whoa! And you get plastered back into your problems because you still want to hang on. Anybody relating to this at all? Oh, yeah. Does anybody have this spiritual problem in their life? I know I do. And suddenly when life moves too quickly, or God decides, okay, I'm going to have to pull the rug out from underneath you, or in the case of my female bee, the Nissan Murano, and you fly in the air and you're all discombobulated and the world is spinning. But then all of a sudden there comes a moment of clarity and you're airborne and you go, whoa, I'm free. I can be where I'm supposed to be, no pun intended, and I can fly home. And look, I dropped some of my treasures, but suddenly those things are not important anymore. Anybody relate to that at all? So I relate to that because I'm always trying to work for a long time now on release and surrender, which would get me into my natural state of flying free, not hanging on to baggage, and being able to accomplish my purpose or what I'm supposed to be doing. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so the last time I spoke here, I spoke about our thoughts and how our thoughts create our lives. And what we focus on and what we give attention to will create our very destiny. And what we and so I said, there's four rules that I kind of try and apply to my thoughts in order to bend them and release them for my greatest and highest good. And the first one I said was, I try and use discipline. And I'm not going to explain that. You can imagine what that is whenever my thoughts start to go. And then I try and use wisdom. How do I apply the discipline in the most efficient way so I can get where I need to be going? And then, of course, I fuel it with love. Because according to the word, sending you some healing power, bro. You're not feeling good, huh? Yeah. I fuel it with love. Because love, if you can do all things like Kimberly spoke in her Sunday, you can have all the spiritual gifts in the world, but if you have love, you're nothing. You know, it's just an empty action. But the last one, for me, ties it up, and that is surrender. Because until I'm able to combine discipline, wisdom, and love with surrender, I find that I'm going contra who I'm supposed to be. And when I first started this adventure called life, I came in and somebody said to me in the spirit world, we're going to drop you naked in the planet amongst beasts and defenseless, and you're going to have the greatest ride of your life. And I said, I'm down. Let's do it. And then I got born, and I started to get programmed. My parents programmed me. My school programmed me. My my church programmed me. My genetics. Everything started programming me. And so what I started doing was I got away from that single cell, that spirit that I was, and I started taking on pollen. Started bringing all that pollen into my life, my treasures. And that guided my flight path, right? But the reality is, God wants to get us to a point where we can deprogram ourselves and get into that natural state of flight, which is our natural purpose. Everybody with me so far? So I'm going to talk about, I'm going to give another little story about release that I witnessed in a woman this past week. And then I'm going to talk about a One of the most popular scriptures in the Bible, John chapter 3. And I want you to release your thoughts and release your mindset and release everything you know about what you think these verses mean. And let's see if we can get a release into what Jesus was saying at this moment. The story that I want to say was that I was in the hospital healing this woman and working on her for about 20 minutes last week. And she had never had this type of therapy before. And she went completely out on me on the table. Gone. And which is good. And I just kept on working on her and saying, I don't know what's going on in there, but, you know, for her highest and best. And I knew something was happening. So when I brought her to, and she just sat there breathing really deeply or laid down. And tears started coming out of her eyes. And I just let her cry for a while. And she goes, oh my gosh. And I said, would you care to share? And she says, yeah, I haven't been that deep before, ever. And she said, it was a release for me. It was such, I let go. And she said, when I was at my deepest point, my father came to me. Her father had passed away 8 years ago. And she said, I was at a place in my heart in which I was praying that my dad would reach when he was in hospice. And she goes, and I know that he told me often before he left that look for the signs, I'll be around to visit you. And she goes, and at first he did visit me every now and then. But she goes, I haven't seen him or felt him in years. So I figured that he was just busy doing his thing. So I, not me, kind of spirit working through me, said, you know, maybe you just needed to release to the point where everything just went away and then your dad was always there waiting for you. And I think it was a beautiful story because every one of us wants to get to that point where we can see the unseen that is always around us. We want to fly like unburdened. We want to get back into that natural path of what God intended us to be. Does anybody besides me have that goal? I mean, that's my big goal right now. I want to return home. The kingdom of heaven is within you. It's here and it's right now. So I want to set up a context because I think it's important to understand the life and times that we live in. So when Jesus walked the earth and he was in Israel... Israel at the time was a very legalistic society that was governed by the Talmud, or the Old Testament rules. It was so legalistic that there wasn't anything you could do from the washing of your hands to the bathing to food preparation that did not have a rule. Those were compounded by the governing board over them, which was created by the Great Synagogue. Think of that as our Senate or our Congress. And they had their Republicans and their Democrats, which we call Sadducees and Pharisees, who were the aristocrats of the day. And like our local government today, they added their own rules and their more taxes and the more things. And so very quickly, the society was deeply burdened, heavily burdened with laws and rules. And you couldn't look left and you couldn't look right. And it just made life crushing. And so on top of that, they were also occupied by the Romans. So the Romans ruled with an iron fist, and they would allow the Jews to have their court, which was their religious rules, but nothing else. But if anything was threatening to the Roman government and destabilizing the Jews, the Romans would come in with a strong, heavy hand to the point of killing people. So there was always a fear base. If you were the people, the general population, you lived in fear because of the synagogues, the rulers, and the churches above you, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees lived in fear of somebody disrupting normal life and the Romans coming down and taking away their power. So you can begin to sense that those were some pretty trepidatious times in which you could die for your faith, or either the Jews would kill you, i.e. Jesus, or the Romans would kill you. Kind of scary times. So Jesus, to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, when he came in, was preaching a whole new game plan. He was taking us home. He was removing the rules, and he was governing by grace and by forgiveness and by love. So that was very revolutionary amongst both dual cultures that were inhabiting that planet at that time or that space. So Jesus, if you want to say, was the long-haired, big beatnik freak that was putting in love and peace. And this was causing a massive disturbance because people want to fly home. People in their heart of hearts want a release. They don't want all this stuff. They want to love from a pure heart, right? You don't want to be burdened. So these guys, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the aristocrats of the day, were watching Jesus very, very carefully. Obviously, we know that through the Bible. And they were really tuning into him. But Jesus was changing even some of their hearts too. So in John chapter 3, there's a very famous story about a man named Nicodemus. Anybody ever recall that or hear that? And so what Nicodemus did was, he was a Pharisee. And if you think about it, he was a contemporary of the Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul at one point decided to scatter the church and kill Christians. So these guys were rough players, even though they were religious players. They were brutal. But there was something about Nicodemus, I believe, that was questioning in his heart. I think, like all people, he wanted to fly home too. So he was burdened by his laws and his education that he had, and he was on top of his world. But he was sandwiched down from the Romans. But he was still curious about the man who could heal people and give them sight, who could make the people free. So what he did was, at night, he went to see Jesus. It doesn't say why, but we have to infer that he didn't want to be seen going to Jesus. So when he went to Jesus, he said, "Rabbi, teacher." So he acknowledges Jesus' position as a teacher. And he says, "We know that God has sent you to us as a teacher, because if you were not from God, there's no way that you could do these miracles." Now open your mind here. And Jesus' response to Nicodemus was, "I'll tell you one thing, Nicodemus. Unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven." That's like if you ask me which way to El Cajon, and I say, "Kangaroos skate on thin peanut butter." What? I came here to talk to you, and you're telling me I have to be born again to see the kingdom. That doesn't even make sense. But Jesus knew his heart. And so he said, "Let's not waste time. I need to get you home as quickly as possible, Nicodemus. And the way for you to go home is to be born again." So Nicodemus said, "How can a man who has already grown up, can he return to his mother's womb? This is impossible." And then what Jesus said was a very brilliant answer. He goes, "You're born of the flesh, but you must be born again of the Spirit." And he says, "You hear the wind, Nicodemus, and you feel the wind, but you know not where the wind comes from, nor where the wind goes to. But so it is with those who are born of the Spirit." And he goes, "I know what I speak of, because I know where I come from, and I know where I'm going, and all those who are born of the Spirit know this too." So if you're a Christian, you hang on to that. And right now, if I was in church, I would say, "Can I get an altar call? Anybody want to receive Jesus as their personal Savior?" And so some people would be really offended by that and go like, "Oh, God, I have to believe in Jesus." That's not what he said at all. It's not what he said at all. And I could hand you a 4 spiritual laws track as to what being born again is, but that's not what Jesus said. What he really says is, all of us here were born of the flesh. And then we were programmed and we got all our pollen on us. And what Jesus is saying is, you're never going to make it that way. You're always going to get frustrated. You're always going to hit the wall, Nicodemus, because you live in rules and you're visiting me at night to figure out what is going on. The reality is you need to drop the pollen. You need to drop all your programming. And all you got to do is look inside and start fresh by being born of the Spirit and releasing all the things that you've encumbered in your life. Likewise, he said, I have not come to judge the world. It's very clear. Because people like to say, well, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're going to die forever and go into eternal hell and blah, 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 blah. And Jesus said right in that very chapter, I'm just asking you to change your mind. Go back to your original programming, drop the games, live life moment by moment, which is in the Spirit. Flow like the wind through the trees, because you're on an adventure. And if you can do that, you'll know where you came from, and you'll know where you're going. And you know what? En route, I didn't come here to judge you at all. I came here so that you would have life for the first time. By realizing these things and getting back to your original programming. So when somebody says to you, you must be born again, I really want you to think and say, I'm living in the Spirit. I am returning home. I have dropped that pollen. And you know what? I am free. I am released. And I had the greatest example. I had the example that said, I heal in love. I give sight. I let the lame walk. I bring the dead to life. And here's another thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him would have eternal life. And all he's saying, all those things are in that one little chapter right there. And all he's saying is, use me as an example, guys. Just believe the message. It's as simple as letting go. Does that make sense? It gives you a lot of freedom. It's not that complicated. So in my life, I'm always working to go home. Anything that I can pick up in my thoughts, I try and say, wait a minute, how am I supposed to be living? I'm supposed to be living by the Spirit. Because during this conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus also said to him, I'm telling you of earthly things, and you don't understand my words, meaning the wind. He goes, if you don't understand the earthly things, I can't even begin to tell you about the heavenly things. And so it is with us. Until we just let our minds go and live in Spirit, we'll never be able to understand our true programming. I think it's a beautiful passage because it's a metaphor in there that Jesus uses the word pneuma for wind, which is the same as wind and Spirit. And Nicodemus didn't understand this. That's all we know of Nicodemus, except for one other verse in the Bible. And what ends up happening is I think Nicodemus walked away and observed Jesus for the next couple of years and took it to heart. And I think Nicodemus flew off the windshield and he got airborne. Because I know that at the time of Jesus' death, when Joseph of Arimathea went down to remove the body, to put it in the tomb before the Sabbath began, that Nicodemus appeared that night with 100 pounds of aloe and myrrh, which was a lot and very costly, in order to embalm Jesus. So if one of the Senate would come down to embalm a dead man who his group sentenced to die, and he would spend 100 pounds of valuable spice in order to take care of him, he must have grown to love this man deeply, the Christ that he knew. So I would say that Nicodemus knew how to fly, because no man would do that for anybody else. So in closing, I'm going to read this, just two little pages. I found this very interesting, and it's called Learning to Fly. And I'd like you to put yourself in this position. Remember, you're the bee. And remember, you have angels all around you. And remember that you're born of the Spirit, and that nobody condemns you, and that we have plenty of great examples in order to fly home. And by the way, all that programming is already in you. It's all accessible. So the kingdom of heaven is inside of you. right here, right now. Don't let anybody else tell you otherwise. Learning to fly. I could feel the keepers hovering and decided to give voice to the doubt that lingered in my mind. It can be rather frightening to step onto a path that's not quite yet formed. How do I know I won't be stepping off a cliff? Well, falling is entirely possible, isn't it? The keepers laughed in unison. I must have looked startled. Sometimes you must take a step into the abyss. In fact, at times it's best to turn that step into a giant leap. That is, after all, the only way you'll ever learn to fly. How true. A part of me was shaking in my shoes while another part grew excited by the truth of what they were saying. I was having a hard time convincing parts of my mind to let go of the doubt it had strived to build up over the years. But I felt the possibility began to flutter up somewhere inside my heart, and it was as if doors to a secret room had opened. The keepers leaned closer and peered into the dark corners of my mind, until suddenly a soft glow filled the new space inside. As we looked together, it became clear that where I had created fear and mistrust, there was really nothing there. As the light devoured the darkness, my doubt simply disappeared, like the wind. I was left with a feeling of spaciousness, as if the whole roof had been removed, and I was being given an entirely new room to live in. I felt like dancing. The keepers took my hands and spun me around and around in this new expansiveness, as my mind merged with the heart's bright faith in a completely new way of believing. I saw clearly how faith and trust are the partners that will cultivate the deeper belief necessary to take those flying steps. Faith opens the door to the heart, but only when we begin to trust the path that is emerging before us can belief give us wings. The three keepers wrapped their arms around one another, formed a circle, and began to glow. I believe we're done for now, but we'll come back when you're ready. And with that, the three keepers merged back into one. She danced her way back into the circle, looking quite happy with what had just transpired. So with that, I'd like to say thank you for this time. And we pause for a short intermission while you take a breath to count your blessings.